What you talking about?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk About It on Jamestown 107.1 FM. We're also streamed online at newsdakota.com. Today, joining us here on Let's Talk About It, with the Hospice of the Red River Valley, we have lead social worker Stacey Metzger. And Stacey, welcome to our show.
Yes, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, and we're so happy you could join us. I'm excited to talk to you. We know that March is National Social Work Month, so we're going to get to learn more about what a social worker does, and more specifically, a hospice social worker does. And Stacey, maybe for our listeners first, if you wouldn't mind telling us about yourself and what you do with the Hospice of the Red River Valley.
Yes. So like Lauren said, I am the lead social worker at Hospice of the Red River Valley. I started with the company about in 2014, and I started out as a direct social worker. So I was out providing services to our patients and our families. And over the years, I've moved up a little bit, and now I do more of like the clinical supervision of all of our social workers. We are very fortunate to have 14 full-time social workers on staff. And so I just help provide that clinical supervision, you know, brainstorming. They have questions about any cases that they're working with, and just really that kind of go-to person to help, you know, because we do know that, you know, working in social work can be a little bit complicated or need to run things by people. And so just that person there to provide that assistance whenever they need it.
Well, and I've always thought, and I know I can't be alone in that social work is some of the hardest work an individual can do, but some of the most important work as well. And Stacey, I'd love if you'd touch on that, the ability to obviously be a social worker and what that takes, but what makes or what is the difference between just a normal social worker and a hospice social worker?
Right. Well, that's a great question. You know, you are spot on when you talk about social work being, you know, difficult, you know, and I think as social workers, we have to be good at thinking on our feet and being very flexible when needs arise. You know, I've done social work. I've been a social worker actually for almost 20 years, and I've worked a number of different, you know, capacities as a social worker. And I have to say that a hospice social worker, you do really need to be very flexible, you know, because you're working with people who are moving towards end of life. And we know that a crisis can happen at any point in time in all social work, you know, roles. But in hospice, you know, there isn't, somebody could be end of life and all of a sudden, you know, family flies in and they have questions, or caregiver is reaching that point where they just, you know, maybe no longer want to care for their loved one at home or aren't able to care for their loved one at home. And so, it, you know, how do I switch gears and, you know, make sure I can get those needs met, but still, you know, have time to, you know, reach back around to the ones that I was planning on visiting today. So you really have to, in that respect of being flexible as far as, all right, I got to switch gears, or just same as a birth, you know, death can come very unexpected. And so it's just, how do I manage those day-to-day pieces as well as, you know, meeting all of the needs of our patients and families? We do a lot of connecting the dots, a lot of, you know, problem solving. Fortunately, there are services for our aging population, but there's not a lot out there. And so it's connecting them with resources. It could be really thinking outside of the box, getting a phone call from a caregiver frantic saying that, you know, they now are having some health issues. And so, you know, how can we piece together enough staff or volunteers to just go sit with the patient, you know, while they maybe tend to their own medical needs or own appointments. And so a lot of it is just that you think you have the best laid out plan, and truthfully, those days aren't ever laid out usually how you expected them to be. And so very unique as far as just kind of always on the go, always kind of switching gears and really connecting dots. And we want people to die where they're comfortable. So if it's at home, you know, we really want to support our patients and families. If it's, you know, maybe living in a nursing facility, you know, how can we provide services there and assisted living? You know, we go to where anybody would call a home.
Again, we have Stacey Metzger, lead social worker with Hospice of the Red River Valley on Let's Talk About It. We're talking about March being National Social Work Month and learning more about the role of a hospice social worker. Stacey, I'd love for you to share too. You talked about answering some of those questions and kind of being ready to pivot at a moment's notice and being ready for almost anything in that situation. What are some things that you constantly hear from families or some frequently asked questions maybe that families come to you with when it comes to hospice social worker care?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I think some of the biggest questions that we get is, you know, how do we provide support to our patients and our families, you know, at end of life? What's going to happen if I can no longer, you know, care for my loved ones? And so a lot of those questions are helping them prepare for what may come, kind of having a backup plan, sort of say, in our back pocket. So if we need to fall back on that, sometimes it's an elderly person taking care of, you know, their spouse, or maybe it's an adult child, you know, caring for a parent. And so there's just a lot of that, you know, how can I make this work? I want to respect, you know, my loved one's wishes. I want to do the best care that I can do. And so a lot of it is just providing that reassurance, you know, that you are doing a good job, that we are here to help you. Hospice of the Red River Valley is available 24 hours a day, you know, reminding them that they're never going to be alone. You know, there's always somebody there that can come out and visit. If it's connecting them to, maybe they are no longer able to leave their home, so it's helping them maybe get Meals on Wheels, you know, to their home. But a lot of the questions are just really being, you know, I really want to make this work for my loved one. And so how can we do this together? How can we make this work? And so, like I said, connecting those dots. I remember when I first started with Hospice of the Red River Valley, it was at that time, you know, Medicare was really kind of shifting, and they'd be like, well, do I have to feed you guys when you're in the home? Or when do you guys start to spend the night with us? You know, unfortunately, that is not how hospice works anymore. And so we really are that supplemental care, and we really rely on our families to provide that care. You know, so we come in, provide all the teaching. We're going to show you how to care for your loved one. But then we step out, and then we would, you know, really expect them to take on that role as caregiver. And so I haven't heard those questions as frequently as I used to, but you know, there is that misconception that hospice is 24 hours a day in the home, but unfortunately that's not the case. So really what we do is just provide that education, provide, you know, our families all the resources that they could possibly need, you know, to take care of their loved one.
Well, and if I can add on to that too, Stacey, when it comes to that really private and important moment, you know, with a family member celebrating end of life and everything of that matter, it's nice to know that there's kind of that person we can, you know, talk to or reach out to and ask questions, because it could be a really trying time for a family member, and their biggest concern should be making sure everything's comfortable and everything. And that's why hospice even exists at this point.
Right. Yes. Well, and I, you know, to add on to that a little bit more, you know, you talk about it. You know, having those caregivers and being around, you know, 24/7. And but is that reassurance? And I think the more people know and the more people understand, hopefully at that time of death, you know, there is that sense of almost peace, you know, like they did a really good job or they knew what they were doing. And it doesn't turn into a very chaotic moment. You know, so if we have a very comfortable, peaceful end of life, you know, I just think that is a testament to, you know, everybody doing their job well. And we want to avoid those chaotic moments. We know that emotions tend to rise. We know that at end of life, and people sometimes panic a little bit, which is okay, you know, but we want to be there, and we want to make sure that, you know, that person is very comfortable, like you mentioned, and that they can have a sense of, you know, that they really did a good job and they did follow, you know, their loved one's wishes. And so it is a very team approach. The team meaning hospice staff, as well as like the family and friends and the caregivers who are helping.
Again, Stacey Metzger, lead social worker with Hospice of the Red River Valley, our guest today on Let's Talk About It. And Stacey, with March being Social Work Month, we may have some prospective listeners out there who are considering a career, and obviously having 20 years experience yourself, what's some maybe advice you'd give to somebody who is maybe aspiring to become a social worker or even a hospice social worker?
Yes, you know, and I went to college and got a master's degree in social work, not really knowing what I wanted to do with that degree. And so I've had some experience, you know, working with domestic violence, sexual assault. I've worked with youth in a number of different areas, and hospice work just kind of fell on my lap. I was trying to figure out maybe a different avenue. And I think that's the beauty of social work, is there is so many different avenues that a person can take, you know, as a social worker. worker. And honestly, I can tell you that my most favorite job has been with Hospice of the Red River Valley. It is such an honor and it is such a privilege to walk alongside our patients and families in this time, you know, in this very, during the time where, you know, where they need us the most. It just brings so much privilege and comfort, you know, to them. So I would say anybody who's looking at being a social worker or even looking into hospice social work, you know, really have a good understanding of the resources available in the community. Start making those connections, you know, attending education, attending seminars where you've got people who are in the community who are currently working in the community, job shadowing. You know, we've got students who call us all the time that want to learn more about the role of a hospice social worker. And so, you know, stopping by and just having those conversations, taking courses in aging services. And I think just in the medical background piece of it is really important too. But I think a lot of, you know, what I learned specifically with Hospice of the Red River Valley was, you know, partnering with our fabulous nurses and going on visits with them and really digging into wanting to learn and wanting to know more about that role. But I'm always available if anybody were to have any questions about hospice social work. You know, you can reach out to our website at hrrv.org. And there's a place where you can submit questions and they get forwarded to me. And so I'd be happy to, you know, take any questions. You can reach out by phone. Again, I am just happy to have conversations and just really explain more in detail the role. I think sometimes, you know, when you think of hospice work, you do think a lot of like the nurses, and they're very important because they're the ones that are taking care of those physical needs, you know, the pain, you know, are they having shortness of breath? Is there any anxiety, restlessness? You know, our social workers and even our chaplains and aides and volunteers are equally as important. Our social workers are able to provide that emotional support to our families. They're able to, like I mentioned, help connect dots to dots and how can we make this all work? And sometimes it's just, you know, having those conversations with people so they feel more comfortable and cheerleading and, you know, training. And I can tell you every person that I've ever worked with at Hospice of the Red River Valley has always been different and unique. And I love just taking that time and listening to our patients. And we work closely with our veterans and just to hear their stories and just to hear, you know, people want to be heard. And as people are moving towards end of life, you know, their stories are just there to treasure. And it's just an amazing, amazing position to hold. And I would, like I mentioned, I would encourage anybody with any questions to reach out to us. We'd be happy to, you know, have a conversation or even have you come job shadow one of our hospice social workers.
Again, that website that Stacy gave out, HRRV, you can look up Hospice of the Red River Valley if you want more information. But Stacy, we appreciate your information. We appreciate the time as well. And thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Talk About It.
Yes, you're welcome. And I would just like to wish a very happy Social Work Month to all my fellow social workers who are listening. And we appreciate the work that you do.